Lord and Savior. I think this might be 4 drive times in a row. Okay. Yeah, you know what? I was pleasantly surprised with the quality of this new recorder. In the way that the condenser mic operates kind of with it, and just the way that the sound, you don't get all that background noise like you used to with the old one. So thank you, fellow listeners, for that. You guys brought this to yourselves. So improved sound quality. I'm here as we gradually move towards more and more. We do the best we can with what we got, and that's, can't really go much more than that. So, yes, bless you. God bless and keep you. You know what? Yeah, we do get down. We do have tough times. We do have moments where things hurt, they sting, they come at us. You know, you're human. You and I are human, and we wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We talked about that a little bit last time. But against spiritual wickedness in high places and all that. But we also have this human body that we live in during our time here. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's sort of like, it's like trying to go running, long distance, and then having all of a sudden being stuck with ankle weights and having to do the same run. You can do it, but it's just like, oh man, now it's just, and that's kind of what the flesh is. It's kind of what this body is, because, you know, there's a wiring, we're wired into it. And, your soul is wired into your flesh. But the flesh, with the bodies, if the soul and the spirit are gone, the flesh, you know, it reduces back to the dust from which it came. So, the eternal part of you, is there. But the flesh, now the flesh has a mind of its own. It really does. It has, thoughts, feelings, emotions, it'll talk to you. Your flesh will talk to you, by the way. It will tell you things. It will say, this is what it wants to do. Hey, I'm hungry. Feed me. You know what? It feels good if you, it is there. You've got this flesh that you're living in. And, you know, you have to bring it under subjection. You've got to bring your body, your flesh, under subjection. Because you know what? If you let the flesh run wild, basically, if you let the flesh do whatever the flesh would like to do, in that if you said, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to listen to my flesh, and I'm just going to do whatever my flesh wants. You would run yourself through so fast, you would destroy yourself before you even knew it. Because the flesh, left up to itself, is completely out of control. I mean, in the respect that it goes to the lowest common denominator very, very fast. And it has a wiring in it that is set towards the world and the world system. You know, it's pointed in that direction. Now, you can discipline your flesh. You can train your flesh. You can bring it under subjection. Paul talked about beating his body and making it his slave. You know, you can do that, and you should do that. As a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should learn to possess your vessel in a way that glorifies Him. Because if you don't do that, if you just sort of, well, we're not supposed, don't give place for the devil. You know, don't, he's looking for that inroads. And see, so often what happens is he accesses people through weakness in their flesh. So what they do is they'll open a door. Now, here's a little bit of how it works from what I've seen. A person will make a willful choice, their free will is involved, to engage in their flesh in something that is contrary to the will, the expressed will of God, and from what they know, sometimes maybe what they don't know, and there's certain ways to get in like that as well, but from what they know, they get in through then that access point. An open door is created by which demonic powers, spirits, demons now access that person. Now here's the thing, on a natural level, people get fooled all the time. If you went by the way that things looked in the natural, the way that things seemed, if everything worked the way that the world presented it, it would be a completely different situation. But it's not that. On the realm of spirit, that's what's real. And so in the realm of spirit, for example, in the realm of spirit, they know what's going on. So a demon will see a person, and they may have on the natural level, everything looks great, they're wearing the right clothes, they talk the right talk, all of that, but they see right there that there's a huge gaping hole that person has in their soul because of their willful open door that they've put there, and they walk right in and right out of that person as they feel like it because of that person's choice. And once they get in, demons, they seek to have, to create, to widen that as much as possible, to have as many others come in there as you can. So, as they can. So, Jesus wants you to be free. He wants you to be free from the control of all those things, too. The only spirit that should be controlling you is the Holy Spirit. And incidentally, this Holy Spirit is the Spirit of holiness. Be ye holy, even as I am holy, is what God said. We're called to that. And you know what? God is touched with the struggle that we have, but he's also called us to be overcomers, and you can progress in this thing. Wherever it is that you are right now is not where you have to stay. It's not where you have to remain. You can go on an amazing journey with him. And the things that maybe you struggle with 6 months ago, they won't be anything to you 6 months later. God has a way of building that in. I had some friends that used to say, new level, new devil. And, I miss some of those guys that I came up with. You know, I miss some of those brothers that, you know, there was a number of us, you know, and we loved God and we were looking to follow him, and you know, there's some that did. There's some that stayed on track. There's others that didn't. You know, there's others that fell off. But you know what? God doesn't lose even one of those that are his. But new level, new devil. Yes. You know what? When you progress in this thing, when I say progress, that's not the way the world talks about progression. The world talks about progression to the extent that as soon as you get up one notch in their system, they want to lord it over everybody else that didn't quite make that notch. No. Progression in God's plan and purpose for your life is basically getting on the way and staying on the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. And progression in the kingdom is being transformed into the image and likeness of Christ Jesus. And that happens as you just remain on this path with him. You keep going in the direction that He's set and charted for you. Look, God loves you. He loves you, and He's in control, and He wants you to know what it is to truly be alive while you're here. See, He doesn't want you to go through this life and this world living beneath what it is that He died that you might have. You know, the Son of God came into this world, died on a cross, that the connection that we were designed to have with the Father would be restored. That you and I would have access to the very throne of God, and that we would, from that, be able to live all eternity with Him. There was a price that had to be paid. There was a price that had to be paid. It is finished. Oh, that word finished. My dad was talking to me about that the other day. Satisfied was what he said. It's satisfied. The righteous requirement of God is satisfied in what happened on the cross with Jesus. Thank God for that. Because that was our only chance and our only hope. And now it's fulfilled. The righteous requirement of God is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And you and I now have access to the very throne of God as a child of God. We have choice now. We have the ability to choose. We can choose now to live holy. We can choose now to live right. We can choose now to walk with God and to walk out this path. It's a beautiful thing. Because now for us, what we have is now that path is now open to us, which before it was closed. We could not eat of the tree of life because that was closed. But Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you got no life in you. He is life. And when we live and move and have our being in Him, when we consume that, when we take that word in, His word is truth. He is the truth. When we take that word in, the very just what God has said, when He speaks and we receive it, that is life. The Spirit of life quickens our mortal bodies. Oh, there's so much. You know, I just, you know what, every day that goes by and I get the chance to walk with Him a little bit more. You know, there are struggles. I know, I can be touched with that. You know what, I go through just like every one of you guys. Just like every one of you guys, I go through. And I experience the difficulties that it is to be in this life, to be in the press, to have, you know, all sorts of things thrown at you and coming your way and all. But you know one thing, there's a few things that you can do that will really enable yourself to walk through this much, much stronger. And I mean, you will do so much more damage to the kingdom of the enemy if you just do a few small things to work with what God is doing. You know, one of them is for to not live sloppy. You know, to live right, to live holy, to walk with God. And that is something the Spirit of God will also lead you in and work with you on. Because see, you know, God takes us where we're at. And wherever it is that you're at, you know, some of you, you're beating yourself up. No, look, some of you, you know, you got to understand, God, He takes you where you're at, and then He starts working with you. And where you're at is where you are at. He custom builds what He does. And He custom builds everything. Have you seen His creation out there? Have you gone outside and looked at the different trees, at the different things that swim and move in the sea. I mean, he's an amazing designer, creator. I mean, just there is, he is the pinnacle of it. And with that too, with you, he's going to work with you as an individual. And so, you know, the core of it is, if at the core of your heart, what you want is truth. If at the core of your heart, what you want is him. And you, and you know if you do or if you don't. You know if you've got a hidden agenda or not. You know if you're, look, don't, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks but him. And he sees right through that. Demonic powers see what's going on in the realm of spirit, and absolutely God does too. And he knows. He knows if what you want really is him or not. And if you really want him, if that's the core of where you are, he'll work with you. He'll quicken you. He'll call you. And you just have to listen to those things when he says those, and just seek to do them. Seek to follow him. Because when you do that, there's freedom in that. There's freedom and peace in each step that you take that the Spirit of God leads you into. You know, so often I think we just make it so hard on ourselves when it doesn't need to be. You know, don't, and you know what, don't invite drama into your life. I'm serious. Don't invite drama into your life. God will quicken you on that as well. Because there's a lot of things that the enemy would love to send into your life that would keep you wrapped up in stupid, stupid arguments and just a completely different frame of reference, all of that. And most of the times it comes with, you know, on the front side with a honey. It doesn't come to you as something bitter. It comes to you as something that you would like to have in your life. It seems sweet. Don't invite that drama in. Comes to you with what you would perceive as a little bit of a benefit. Don't invite it in. Because the toll that it takes on your mind and on your spirit, it's not worth it. Much rather that you would focus your time, your energy, your all of that on something that is, you know, clashing without. Because God will send you into the world, in the world but not of the world. You'll clash with that which is going on around you and outside of you, but it won't be what you've invited into your life. You know, I've talked with some of my buddies a little bit about this in the recent days and months. You know, concentric circles, as far as how close certain people can and should be to you. And, you know, I mean, something I see Jesus doing. You know, there's the multitudes. He's got the 70, 72. He's got the 12. Within the 12, he's got the 3. Within the 3, there's even the 1, which was, you know, John. And, you know, even the closeness that Jesus had with his disciples. You know, what's interesting is even at the Last Supper, when he's talking to, when Peter, when he talks about, you know, being betrayed, and Peter, you know, bumps John and he says, "Hey, ask him who he means." Even there, Peter knew there was something that Jesus would tell John that he might not tell Peter. Oh, yeah, by the way, there's your first pope. Is supposed to be Peter, right? For all the Catholics out there. So, wait a second. Never mind. Okay. So, John was closer. Okay. Never mind. I know. It's just little things I like to point out every now and then just to show that no man lords it over anybody else, but the whole thing is bunk unless you're following Christ. Close. Jesus has your back. He's got his own. Anyways. And even at the crucifixion, you know, John was at a distance, you know, with a few women, but all the rest of them had gone. And even though, you know, there was something, and John was the one that when Jesus said, to, you know, setting up the care for his mom, for Mary, he said, woman, here's your son, and, you know, son, here's your mother. I mean, he, you know, like, if you have godparents when you have a child, or, you know, or when you're a kid, or just somebody that is there that would, your family would put to be in charge and to take care in the case that something would happen to a family member, you know, will and testament, things like that. Who would you want to be close? Who would you want to take care of your family if it was an emergency or something happened to you? Wouldn't it be somebody that, wouldn't it be the people that were close to you? You wouldn't want them to go be wards of the state, would you, if you had a choice and an option? No, of course not. So, although we live in such a selfish generation these days, gosh, man, it's amazing. People don't put themselves out for each other like they, well, there are people that do. I don't want to, sorry, I'm not going to say that like a sweeping completely, but it's, we're definitely on a, the world is on a path of selfishness, and even a lot of things that were common decency in decades past are sort of going out the window these days. But God's people are walking in light and truth amidst it all. Anyways, but John, you know, Jesus shows a way, even in the way that he related to his, the people that were around him, of the closeness that he would have. You know, when he was struggling in the garden, and he had Peter, James, and John walk a little bit further with him, they were the ones that were, you know, within earshot of him wrestling and struggling with the reality of the crucifixion that was coming upon him. I mean, you know, there's certain friends that you have close to you in the trials that you go through, in the difficulties that you will face. You don't, and in that line, and in that thinking, and in that mindset, you don't want the people that are there in your Garden of Gethsemane to be unreliable. You don't want the people that are there in your dark times, in your difficulties, in your struggles, the ones that you have close, you don't want those to be people that will fall apart and that don't share the same foundation. You can't make excuses for people. People make the choices that they make. They choose the path and the reality that they would have. And for you, child of God, servant of light and truth, follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, right there, those things, those elements of you are mandatory guidelines for anybody that would be at the core of your life, at the core of walking with you through this journey of life, at the core of your decision making, if you're going to share some things with some people, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. If you're going to talk to some people about decisions you got to make, talk to some people that have the same spiritual foundation as you. You know, it's amazing to me how sometimes people that say they follow Christ will then go and ask the opinions of worlders for choices they've got to make in their life. Look, if it's something that's on a complete, you know, natural level and has no bearing on the path and the decisions that you make, sure, go ahead. Find out how to, I don't know, find out how to, you know, cook fish. Sure, ask them for some tips on that. But if it's going to be a decision and a choice that you need to make, that is affecting your the path that you're living and walking through this life, whoa, be really careful who you talk to in that. You know, ultimately, you should be hearing it from the Spirit of God first. But those that are close to you, those that are at your core, because they listen to the voice of the Spirit of God, they will, in all likelihood, be confirming that which God is speaking to you, or help you to see it from another perspective, which will enrich and strengthen your assurance in the decisions you have to make. But too often what happens, and what I see happening, is people have at the core of their lives bad people that are destroying the walk that they should be having, because their decision making is from a different place. Their priorities is from a different place. Worlders are constantly seeking to save your life in this world, if you would, because they don't know God, and so they think like a worlder. So a worlder thinking like a worlder will... Okay, look. There's not a worlder alive, if they were close to me, that would have opted for me to go to Haiti for almost five months out of last year. We broadcasted from there, and we were doing that which God had for us to do there, and some amazing, amazing things happened in that place, on the realm of the natural and on the realm of the spirit. Oh my gosh. But they would not want somebody that they cared about to go into anything. Why? Because the world seeks comfort, seeks safety, seeks security, seeks what it can control, what it can predict, the best that it can possibly have unto itself. Fatten yourself up for the slaughter. That's what the world looks for. And then when the slaughter is coming, to hopefully be at the back of the herd where and push other people to the front, save your own skin, you bunch of big fat pigs running around. Jesus Christ saves you from that. He pulls you out of that. See, God wants you to live the abundant life. But you know, the abundant life comes on His terms. And the abundant life, what God does, is He puts us in situations and circumstances that stretch us way past anything we would ever choose of ourselves. But you get, and you go into those things because He loves you and is taking care of you. And He knows what you need. See, He knows what you need. He's the great physician. He knows what you need for your body. He's the comforter. He knows what kind of true counseling that you need. He knows what you... I mean, He knows what you need for everything. He's your provider. He's Jehovah. Jireh. My provider. And in the line of provision, He knows the best source for His people. So if you look to Him, He'll provide you. If you look to the world has got its own way of wanting to provide for you as well. And it also has to do with give up your soul in exchange for provision, give up your birthright, give up what God has called for you, and get in line and become part of that hierarchy. Oh, wow. You know, I mean, for me, when I meet these worlders, look, I know what you're about. I know what you're doing. I know it's just, could we skip the formalities? Could we skip the game? Could we skip? Look, just either make a move and make your move. Go ahead, do it. And then find out who it is that I serve and who it is that will rip you apart piece by piece. Because you stepped the wrong way. I mean, seriously, look. I don't do it. I seriously don't. I don't have to do it. God puts protection around His people. And He watches over those that are His. And I know that... See, one thing that they, within that side, they have to be careful who they cross, because if they cross the wrong one, all those things that they try bounce back on them, and they go into a world of hurt if they survive it. See, this is also why it's important, you know, back to what we started talking about, that you live holy, that you live the truth, that you give the devil no place. Because if you do that, when the enemy tries to throw things at you, it's got nowhere to stick on you. It's like water off a duck's back. There's no latching place. The devil's looking for a foothold in your life and in your soul. And if you do, when God says present your bodies as living sacrifices, you're doing that as much as for yourself as for anything else, for the walk that you need to live in this life. Because when your body is given wholly over to light and to truth, when all of your being has been turned over to the Spirit of holiness to work with, and He's got full control, when the enemy tries to look for a latch in you, there's nothing there. Nothing there. Nothing there for him to latch onto. Nothing there for him to hold onto. Nothing there for him to... So you might feel, for a brief moment, you know, some of that oppression because of some of the fight that you might be in. But there's nothing for him to grab onto. And it just melts away. And when it melts away, and then it's... Okay, now it's my turn. Now, let's... Okay. Attack? Sure, go ahead. You done? Is that it? Fine. Now, be ye destroyed for all eternity. Be stripped of your power in Jesus' name. Nothing. You got nothing. Zero. Yeah, in your demonic little kingdom, in your satanic side where you've been trying to work your way up and down, your little ladder and try to get power and try to get demons to work with you, all that stuff, it only works inside of your zero-sum game. Don't cross over to this. This thing will destroy you. Light, just as light removes the darkness. It's a powerful cleaning agent. Absolutely. So, hey, you're warned. You were warned. Go back to your sandbox. You better go quick. Move. Look, God's people, you're going to be fine. See, for us too, for us to check out of this world, it's not a big deal. Because this life is about Him. This life is about Christ Jesus. It's all about Him. And even our existence in this world and everything that we would do, all of that, it's about His purpose, His plan, the reality that He would have. Trust me in this. It's about Him. And if you focus your life on Him, serving Him, walking with Him, you will find the abundant life. If you try to save your life in this world, you're going to lose it. If you lose your life for His sake and for the kingdom of God, you will find it. You'll find what life truly is. You will experience an adventure far beyond what anything the worlders could ever shape for themselves, ever. Look, I've been blessed by God to live more of a life in the short time that I've been alive than any single worlder I know. There's not a single worlder I know that has lived more of life than me. In two lifetimes, they haven't lived more of a life than I have. God's allowed me that. Why? God has allowed me that because, you know what? One of my prayers was, Lord, I want to follow You. That's it. It's all about You. And Jesus, You said in Your word, You came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So, Lord, if You came that we might have it, and I want to receive what You have for me on Your terms. See, this is where the satanic church, this is where they twist it all over again. It's infuriating to see how they twist these kind of things. So for them, they say, oh, okay, so God wants, don't you see that God wants you to have an abundant life? She says right there. So you should have that car that you want. You should have them shoes that you're just looking at. Look, that's the way that they think. Why? Because they're carnal. Because they're materialistic. Because that's the eyes of their... that's the way they see everything. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what's in their heart. The treasure, the reality, everything they're about is in this world. Look, I've said this before. This is one thing that God kind of gave me when I was starting out. He told me, look, I give you the need when it's needed. And I have found that to be true. Whatever I've needed, God has provided it for me, be it in the desert or wherever it may be. If he's got to, he will rain it down from heaven, or it'll come up from the ground. Somehow, some way, God will get to his people what they need when they need it. He'll do it. And so, that being the case, and that also being the miraculous, and that also being another way that God is glorified as you are journeying through this life, and you can continue to trust him more and more, that being the case, when you know that and you've experienced that, and then you hear people talking that have never experienced that, don't know what that is, never have heard the voice of God in their lives, and then they want to stand up there and say that they're an authority. Why? Because they've got a microphone, or they've got a broadcast or a TV show. Who funded you for that? Well, the world has funded them for that. Because they want to give you a deception. They want to give you an alternative reality. Look, you're called to walk the truth out. See, for us, all right, for this wonderful little Faith Mix team, the guys that are with me in this, love my brothers, two brothers to the end. Oh my gosh. All right. For us, our decision is we're going to do this thing. We're going to walk with Christ. And in the middle of this process, along the way, God put it on our hearts to sort of put this together where we could share and put some things out there along the way just to share the journey that God's had us on and having us on. So we're living life out there in the open, right there with you, next to you. There is no church, quote unquote, funding us. There is no support coming from the Babylonian system. Why would they? Why would they fund this? Why would they help for this message to get out? Why would they? No. Think about it on a natural level. Why would you put your you wouldn't put up something that would shine and reveal the weakness of what you're about and destroy yourself if you were the devil, would you? It's only in the most desperate of times on their side that a Joseph or a Daniel will come into the position that they're in. They don't want that. Look, Pharaoh would have loved to have stuck Joseph back in the dungeon. It meant nothing to him who Joseph was. But the thing that he realized was, hey, this guy's got the Spirit of God in him, and also this guy has a solution and understanding where no one else had. Not another person, no one in my entire kingdom knew what was going on, what to do, or how to do it. But this guy does. And this famine that's coming up, I don't know what... So in order to save their own hides, they put Joseph into the position that he was in. Now, you know, that's oftentimes when you will see the true child of God moving into some sort of rank, position, something like that. Now, promotion comes from the Lord. He does, God does do that. And but even in those times when the people are in those places and those positions, like Daniel, you know, there's all these guys are looking for an angle. They can't find one with them. They just want to kill him. They want to get rid of him. The whole lion's den thing is because they could not find any fault in this guy, except for, you know, that they said, we got to find something in relationship to his God, because that's it. That's about the only place. That is the only place that we can find something on this guy. So Daniel wasn't out and about with all the worlders. Nope. He was doing what God had for him to do. And they find fault with that. And that's what they want to kill. They want to destroy you. If you won't sell out to their thing, they want to destroy you. They don't care your position. They can't stand that light that's in you. But look how God took care of his own. God takes care of his own. He'll take care of you. But there are some things that you and I can do to work with the Spirit of God. There are some things that you and I can do to put ourselves in a place where you and I are not becoming a hindrance to what it is that God would have to do through our lives. Now, ultimately, all of this resides on God moving. If God doesn't move, nothing happens. If God doesn't speak, nothing goes forward. That said, there are some things that you can do to put yourself in a spot where the free flow of God, it just goes forward as much and smoothly as possible, as up to you. And, you know, as up to, like, your part that you can play in that process. So, you know, don't overcomplicate it. Just do it. You know, because the enemy is looking for place in your life. He's looking for some spot, some little micro nano place to dig in. And once he gets in there, you know, he doesn't need a big place. He doesn't need a big space. The tiniest thing is sufficient. And if he can't find it through oppression or trial or all those kind of things, you know, let's see if I can work on your ego. Oh, you did such a great job there. So great. You're so good at what you do. Oh, you're just wonderful. You're me, I. Look for that. Mine, selfishness. Encouraging that selfishness. Encouraging that, just, look, you and I are called to be one with God. You and I are called to be one with the Spirit of God. You're either on a path to becoming one with Him and His Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, or you're on a path to becoming one with the world and the world system. And it's many different manifestations, but ultimately the same core behind it. You know, we did a series sometime back. It's probably been a few years, but it's up there. It's on the site. Go for it. Called The World. And we talked about if you understand the core of the beast, then when the different heads are there, you see how the core is, it's like, oh, okay, I recognize it, because I see the same characteristics in this as in the rest of it. The world has a very distinct way that it works, and the kingdom of God has a very distinct way that it works. And never the twain shall meet. Light and dark, no mixture, not at all. So, I mean, the closest that we'll ever get to seeing some kind of mix is the wheat and the tares growing together in this reality. You know, that is something that is amazing, that these do grow together in this place and in this reality, and that clash that takes place here. And you know what? I think I said it a couple times back. I am grateful that we're outnumbered. I am grateful that all the odds are stacked against us. I thank God for the challenge of it, because otherwise it would be so easy. Because, you know, it is so easy. For all God's got to do is speak one word. One word. And they're decimated. Jesus, even when he was going to the cross, he just said, look, don't you think that I could just ask my Father and he would give me right now 12 legions of angels? But then how then would the scriptures be fulfilled? Jesus wasn't thinking about his own comfort, his own easy life. He was thinking about and dedicated to the will of the Father and remaining one with that. And God is doing that with those that are walking with him and trusting him and committed to that plan and purpose. He's doing that with you. And you're called to be one with him and in him. But realize that in every situation that you're in, you know, like that king of Assyria, Mr. Smack Talk, with his 186,000 troops. Oh, poor guys. Because of his big mouth, God wipes them all out. Because he can't shut his mouth, and he speaks against God. Says something. Look, you don't write checks with your mouth that your body cannot cash. He speaks. Wakes up the next morning and 186,000, his entire army is dead. Wakes up in the midst of a bunch of corpses. Just goes home. Tail between his legs. As so many worlder cowards do when their card is pulled. You know what? They've got nothing. Nothing. Zero. No substance, no foundation. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, anyways, look, for God and God's people, he has got us. He goes before us. His glory is our rear guard. He's taking care of those that are his. You don't have to worry about anything. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. He's going to take care of your needs. He's going to watch over you. If you've followed him, if you've done what he said, you're fine. You're fine. The places, the times when we end up in trouble is the times when we stop listening to him. Thank God for obedience. You know what? And there are mistakes that are going to be made. Sure. Dust yourself off. Get up. Repent. And keep going. Don't stay in that place. But the devil is the only person invited to a pity party. It's just you and him. The two of you. Look. Don't even have one. Dust yourself off. Get up. Keep going. God's with you. You've got, you know, you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. All those that have come before you. All of them. And they are cheering you on. Get up. Keep going. Get up. Get up and keep going. Trust him. And if you know what? Whatever you're feeling, take it before him. He knows. What does scripture say? Be anxious about nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. So do that, and in all of that too, hey, know that we love you. Know that we pray that God blesses you and keeps you. And hey, we're cheering for you too. So, all right, so I am going to sign off. But I will catch up with you guys again very soon. So, hey, God bless you. And, Lord willing, and we got to pray for this, pray it through, because, of course, little tiny demonic minions always trying to stop stuff. But we should be doing the live show with Zeph Saturday after next. So, however that works out, if you want to catch that, be on the radio in the States. I'm not sure all the frequencies and all that kind of stuff, but it'll be on a podcast too. We'll repost it here as well. So that's going to be coming up in the not too distant future. So, hey, love you guys. God bless you. Keep on keeping on, and we'll catch up with you again really soon. All right. God bless you. Talk to you later. Bye. Thank you.